I'm Ken Bennett.
And I'm Martin Frazier.
And we are Loud Americans Discussing Soccer, better known as Lads. Popping in the new year, Martin. Okay. Woo-hoo. I like that. I'm drinking whiskey. You're drinking wine. And before we get into the episode, I want to give a not safe for work warning. This might be the most controversial episode of Lads yet. I hit Martin with the intro, and I told him, we're talking about Israel and Palestine. I mean, we're talking about Manchester United, we're talking about Liverpool, we're talking about a lot of different stuff today, including penalties, Jurgen Klopp being angry, Arsenal being back, Frank Lampard being a fraud. There's a lot of things to get into today, Martin, but hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, indeed. And like Kev said, 2021, the lads are coming in hot, scalding takes only. We're going to be saying some wild shit about so many different things. And Kev, I'm just pumped. This is, we kind of alluded to this a couple weeks back. This is the 2 weeks in January where there's just a game of football every single day. And yeah, it's the EFL Cup now. Yeah, it's going to be the FA Cup this weekend. But still, we're just getting hit in the face with soccer still. And it's just, it's great to be alive. Like 2021. Oh God, Jesus. I've fucked up the year already. I'm like in grade school again. Writing 1998 instead of 1999. What a fool. What
I'm same at work. I'm still putting 2020 for the dates and stuff like that. And that's not good for me because I work in like shipping and pro and like actually like, you know, moving giant things around in supermarkets. So they're like, wait, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. You knew what I meant. You knew what I meant. But yeah, I'm really excited for the pod. So let's get into it. I kind of told Martin a couple of the topics we're going to be doing today. So we have Jurgen Klopp whining. We have the Manchester United penalty meme, whatever you want to call it. Klopp actually got into it too because he was whining some more. And then we have Arsenal being back, baby. And is Frank Lampard a fraud and Man City being good again? I mean, they've always been good, but they really showed out against Chelsea. So, Martin, where do you want to begin?
I think we got to fucking take it from the top. The first game of the weekend was Aston Villa versus Manchester United, Friday afternoon game, which are slowly becoming my favorite types of games. Manchester United, 3-2 win against Aston Villa. Obviously,
2-1.
Bruno. 2-1. Sorry, 2-1 win against Aston Villa. Obviously, Bruno Fernandes got the deciding penalty kick after Paul Pogba was fouled. I'll say fouled in the box.
Oh, yeah, that's a hot take.
It is a hot take, and let me explain myself because first off, yeah, it's not a foul, guys. We can all agree on that. Like, it's not a foul. Just like the Kieran Tierney penalty was not a foul. The Lacazette penalty wasn't a foul. The Luke Shaw penalty wasn't a foul. There have been so many penalties called in the past, I don't know, like 5 years, where it's been obviously not a foul. So I don't think there's anything more special to this than people just noticing it for the first time and using it to make fun of Manchester United. Other than that penalty, and obviously we're going to talk more about it as we get on, but to just talk about the game real quick, what a fucking fun game. We were talking before the game, and we just we were calling it to be a high scoring match, and it didn't really end up being a high scoring match. But there were shots all over the place. It was a high paced, high tempo game. The midfield on both sides looked great behind Jack Grealish, and then you've got the Paul Pogba, Bruno Fernandes pivot in Manchester United's midfield, which is looking pretty darn good nowadays, I must say. And then it's just fast-paced counterattack football, so it just made the game entirely fucking watchable. At the end of the day, got that 2-1 W, sitting tied at the top of the league with Livy. So big, big start for my 2021. Happiest I've been in 8 years since 2013. That's not how math works. 7 years since 2013. So this is a good day. This makes me feel good to be a Manchester United fan.
Right. And, you know, credit to Villa as well. Shout out to our good friend, yeah, Paul, I know he was fuming after the match, and I think a lot of people are fuming at Manchester United. And Martin, you made a good point. We talked about it. People kind of have this Alex Jones tinfoil hat conspiracy theory going on that the league is rooting for Manchester United. I'm just going to say, like, it has been 7 years since the last title, and you know, that's not just shit talking. I'm just saying, like, if they have, then like, have they just decided now? People are saying, like, oh, it's, I think, what was the stat that I posted on the Instagram? Oh, it was like 33 penalties in 59 games. People are saying that, you know, the referees are in it, that there's this giant conspiracy about it. All I'm going to say is about this topic is that it's funny because I know it works you up, Martin. So I just do it really just to piss off Manchester United fans when I do know that it's more of just VAR and refereeing this year in the Premier League, which there's always been an issue in England. We've always had the worst referees in the league. I think it's more of that issue, the way that Manchester United plays, the attacking football, not that other teams don't play attacking football. I think it really boils down to really poor refereeing that has, which I think you can agree, there has been a lot of penalties for Manchester United. I just feel they're more justified than not.
Yeah, and I think when you really look at the stats and you take a break from Twitter football and actually look at the stats, you'll see this season, if there is a team to get real pissed off about the amount of penalties they've had, is Leicester. Leicester is a ways out front in a total number of penalties.
I think 10
this year.
They have 10.
Manchester United, after this game with Aston Villa, has 6. And then there's, I think, like 4 teams tied in third with 5 penalties. So, first off, I think the outrage is absolute fucking horseshit. I mean, finding something.
But it's just really fun to. It's fun to hate. You got to understand, like, it's because, Martin, I told you this, you know, teams like, as an Arsenal fan, this is awesome for me because now you're on top. We love tearing you back down to us because for a while, me and you, we were the same. We were the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other.
We really were.
And now I feel as though I just do it because Manchester United fans get fucking furious about it. I just want to let people know there is no big brain Alex Jones tinfoil hat conspiracy going on.
I wish there was. How sick would that
honestly,
be if Manchester
honestly,
United, like, behind the scenes, fucking Glazer and Ed Woodward, who are just worthless in everything else they do, have orchestrated an entire Prem-wide ref Ponzi scheme where they are just buying off referees. That would be amazing. I would not stop talking about that for the rest of my life. I wish there was some tinfoil hat crazy scheme going on behind the scenes. But, guys, there's not. And, like, to just bring this back to reality, Kev, the stat, 33 penalties in 58 games. Yeah, that's a fucking shitload. Sure. But I think that it is just about as inconsequential as a stat as the fact that Liverpool has the most penalties taken since the Prem has ever begun. Both do not mean anything about the team nor their fucking current run of form or their style of play. I genuinely think it's a completely worthless stat. So what Manchester United had a stupid amount of penalties last year, I think 17. What did that help them? They came in third place, 20 points behind fucking Liverpool. That obviously did not help them at all. This season, they have 6 penalties so far. Yeah, it's second, but they're pretty damn close to the fucking average. And it means absolutely nothing for right here, right now. Liverpool has had the most ever. Nobody's talking about that shit. Leicester has the most in the Prem right now. Nobody's talking about that shit. So why are we fucking talking about this?
Because it's Manchester United, Martin. You're like the Dallas Cow. It's because people love to hate. It's easy to hate the team that's the historically best team in England next to, like, Liverpool. Like, it's easy. Like, people just want to, like, tear you down because, like, you guys are doing, you're in good form. Paul Pogba, we didn't even talk about him, phenomenal. Paul Pogba looked phenomenal this game, trying to probably boost his transfer to Juventus at the end of the season.
Jackass.
Speaking of which, January transfer. Hey. I haven't really heard too much about this. I've been hearing, you know, obviously the usual, like, Jack Grealish surprise leave at the end of the January transfer to United. I've heard some crazy shit, but nothing too, like, Fernando Torres or Mesut Ozil or Bruno Fernandes kind of deals coming over. But overall, that's all I really got to say. And, like, you know, credit to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. The guy gets a lot of shit about being a PE teacher, looking like Martin Freeman from Sherlock and all sorts of things. But I will...
I've not heard that one before. That's good.
Thank you. I actually just started watching Sherlock at my girlfriend's place. And I'm actually at her place now in South Boston. So just, new location. So I'll cheers to that. I just want to say credit to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because for a guy who's been getting so much shit, it was, you know, I love a good, like, redemption arc for a guy who's been literally just told that he's just, he doesn't deserve the job when he's obviously now joint top at the top of the Premier League.
Yeah, man, it's cool to see. And like we said at the beginning of the podcast, like, it feels good to be a Manchester United fan again. I was talking to Kev beforehand. It's a weird little juxtaposition I'm in where I don't want to come out too heavy-handed and swinging because, I mean, we're 16 games in. Like, get a hold of yourself, Manchester United fans. We haven't won shit right now. So
it's still very early. The title race, again, this is still the greatest title race of what I've seen in recent memory. So, again, everybody chill out. Like, a couple weeks ago, Arsenal was in a relegation battle. Now we're 3 points off Chelsea. So... who were in the top of the Premier League, and people were putting them as major title contenders. So I think everyone just needs to take a deep breath. Everyone breathe.
It's going to be okay. And I just do want to give some Aston Villa credit real quick. Between James McGinn, Matty Cash, and Jack Grealish, top three hair team of all time, first off. And the fucking foot skills. Matty Cash at right back is just a joy to fucking watch. He's like a much better version of Trent Alexander-Arnold. He can defend and he can put crosses into the box. It's unbelievable. Get you a defender who can do both, like Matty Cash. I think that the tactics that Aston Villa deploy, as well as the individual skill, it's just so fucking crazy to watch them play after watching them play all of last year, hovering in the relegation zone. So just kudos to them and fun, man.
I guess it's also fun to point out that Aston Villa was saved from relegation because of a poor VAR call. So,
ball will come back.
Cold takes exposed. You were saved by a horrible VAR call where Bournemouth should be still in the Premier League. So, if anyone's I know I miss Eddie Howe so fucking much. Okay. the last thing I'll say about the Friday games is shout out to Thomas Suchek. Getting the winning goal for West Ham versus Everton. I the one thing I'll say about him is that I feel like he scores every game. I know he only has like 5 or so goals, but this season, every time I've watched West Ham, he scored, and that's weird.
Dude, I like this fucking West Ham team.
They're fun!
As much as it pains me to admit, because it is coached and taught by Davide Moyes, it just is a fun team from front to back, and who would have thought a couple years ago that you would be bringing Antonio off the bench to help your team out in the 70th minute. I just think that they have a pretty deep, talented squad over there at West Ham, and Davide Moyes has done a great job of recruiting there, and it's paying off.
Redemption for him as well. Yeah, great redemption story.
Dude, 2021, the year of redemption? Oh, shit.
I love this. Now let's move on to we'll do it in order. Then we'll do the Saturday games. Let's start off with Arsenal versus the Brexit boys. Big Sam. And going into this match, we were on a 2-game winning streak. And again, Arsenal, this was a trap game for us. It felt as though we are going to absolutely just blow this. It was going to come down to like a 1-0 cheeky West Brom in the 80th minute with like a corner or a header. It felt like it was going to go that way. And Martin, it did not. 4-0 shellacking, shit pumping by Arsenal Football Club. I was screaming up and down. And like you, I'm probably not as... I may feel even though you're top of the table, Martin, I think I have more joy as an Arsenal fan than Man United fans right now. And
I'm trying so hard to fucking jump on this Arsenal train. I'm trying, Kev. I'm trying to catch up to this Arsenal train, but I can't buy it, Kev. I can't fucking buy into it right now.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, my happiness being out of the relegation zone.
Okay.
Just we're not.
Three performances. Okay.
Right, Martin, we were in dire straits where we were the biggest meme in the Premier League, that we were going to get relegated. People were really having that conversation. We, us as a podcast, were having that as a conversation. Now, we are, Arsenal is like securely out of the relegation zone, have left Sheffield United, who also, thoughts and prayers for them. West Brom, I know, the new derby. But I mean, this match was phenomenal. Kieran Tierney deserves the captain's badge. He is the future.
Oh my God.
him working out in the snow in short sleeves and short socks like a maniac. I loved it. It was the first snow game of the Prem. Like the second half, the snow was really coming down. It was some Polar Express shit. I loved it, Martin. And you had Tierney, Saka, the future of this club. Literally, this is Arsenal, Tierney and Saka. And Lacazette, another redemption arc. This is the redemption podcast. Lacazette, his hold-up play, his finishing. I mean, I would love Aubameyang to start scoring, but it seems as though Lacazette and Aubameyang have pulled like a Freaky Friday and switched bodies, so now Laka is scoring. And I got to say, it was just pure domination by Arsenal in this match. And watching Big Sam, who came in with his balls hanging low, thinking he's going to try and big dick Arsenal, as he has in the past, and just to wipe that smile off his face. It was, mwah, chef's kiss.
Dude, this is my hot take, my scalding take for the podcast. Arteta is going to buy Tammy Abraham this January transfer window from Chelsea.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's my hot take, because Tammy Abraham is a classic fucking Arteta player with Saka and fucking Tierney. It just completes the fucking trifecta. And, you know, I think the Chelsea way of just shipping off players to Arsenal is going to keep fucking going. So there's my hot take for the
again,
January
William,
or summer.
William not starting. William not starting. He had a shot on target this game, but that Tierney one-on-one, leaving the West Brom defender on his knees. Saka, that brilliant team goal. That Saka goal was such a – that felt like Arsenal Football Club again, Martin. And it just, you know, getting that third goal to pretty much solidify the game. Because if even at 2-0, I was still worried. I felt as though, like, this is a trap. Arsenal, I've seen this happen before many times before. But this was a solid game that got us back up to 11th place, and 11th place has never felt so good. We're back. Arsenal are back. We're not back, but we're back.
Oh God, I am just so happy that y'all have clawed yourself out of fucking 15th place and put together a string of performances that look fucking damn decent. And I can't remember who you guys are playing come next week, but it's gonna be real fucking cool.
Southampton.
See, that's a fucking easy trap game. Southampton is a dirty dog. We'll get
or
to that
Newcastle.
Later, but
it's either Newcastle or Southampton. Let me check.
Charlie Wilson or Danny Ings.
Oh, yeah. Upcoming fixtures. Callum okay. Wilson. So I was wrong, as usual. It's Crystal Palace, then Newcastle, then Southampton. And then we had the Lads Derby at the end of the month, Martin.
Yeah, I got to get past Liverpool first. One fucking derby at a time. Baby.
Oh, also, can we... This is just a quick aside. We're going to keep getting back to the games. But, Martin, the fucking Man U Liverpool, probably the biggest match of the season so far, is on fucking Peacock.
Are you shitting fucking kidding me?
Is this new? I'm sorry. I guess you. I know you don't really follow like the social and whatnot. But, yes, it is on Peacock. The biggest game of the year. What is NBC thinking? Idiots.
Dude. It's the same reason they moved The Office from Netflix to Peacock. They are literally going to drag like a good 100,000 people over and pay $80 for the subscription for that damn streaming service. At this point, Kevin, like the list of services that I subscribe to is more than 10. I think it's fucking more than 10 just to watch sports or listen to music. Fucking stupid.
I know. Peacock. And it's crazy. Like, you know, now that The Office is off Netflix, white guys have to get a personality. I hate it. I'm just floored.
Did you say that from Tumblr?
probably the Tumblr Twitter world. Yeah. somewhere around there. But no, I just think like I already have my issues with Peacock and
Peacock.
I already have many issues with this service. In terms of also, like, the user interface is shit. It reminds me of, like, early Hulu, where the user interface is shit. There's not that much on there to be desired. Now they think just because they have The Office, which, again, it's going to get a lot of people because watching The Office during quarantine has been kind of, like, a cult thing now. Like, people mm-hmm. watching The Sopranos now for the first time. But I don't know, man. That just bums me out. And it's just another paywall. And people are like, oh, it's only $5. You have Xfinity excluded. But it's just like, it's just another, like.
It's something else, dude. We're already paying. Like, Kevin and I started watching soccer together back in, like, 2014, maybe. And we had one service that we used. And we used it to watch Champions League. We used it to watch Prem. I think we even sprinkled some fucking international games in there as well. And it was NBC Sports. There was no such thing as Peacock, no such thing as Gold, ESPN FC, no such thing as ESPN Plus, none of that shit. And from those fucking years, like, each subscription service, whether it's Fox Sports, CBS All Access, ESPN, has each grown in a fucking entity. Now you have ESPN Plus, and then you have NBC Gold, NBC Peacock. Now there's going to be a fucking golden peacock in the coming fucking month, probably. It's just stupid as shit. The worst thing, Kevin, this irritates me to no end, and then I'll jump off my fucking soapbox here, is the NBC app is and has always been fucking god-awful. Like, Peacock's app is bad, but it sometimes works, and you can actually watch and stream fucking videos on it. The NBC standard app is just dog shit. You can't fucking use it on a PS4 or an Xbox. It barely streams on phones and computers. It is awful. It is fucking awful. Yet they have enough money to fucking get NBC Gold and fucking Peacock, but can't fix a single goddamn app that they started with. Oh, all right. Soapbox over.
I just, you know, I don't want to get on my, this would be another podcast on NPR, but late stage capitalism and all these monopolies on different soccer leagues. Who would have thought? Not me. You knew. Mm. Who would
see? It's America. Back in like 2007, when I was watching this shit on Fox Soccer Channel and essentially watching Sky Sports aired in United States, there was none of this shit. And then America got a hold of fucking soccer and has just commercialized the ever living piss out of it.
I heard like in England now they watch all the games on Amazon. Because I remember when I was in England, it was very hard to watch matches. And like I remember back in like 2015 when I was over in Wales, I would talk to like my English like either like peers or like my roommates, or like I go out and like talk to some of my friends over there. And I like, yeah, I just use one app. I get to watch all the games. It's like, Kev, mate, like I had to watch some guy like watch it from a commentating booth and just have the scores next to him like it's Sports Center. And just talk about the matches as they're going on. I'm like, what? Like, and like for a while,
ruined soccer, man. For fans, you guys have just like there's gonna be a point in time where there are advertisements at like the 15 minute mark and the 30 minute mark, and it's just gonna be like a little side by side screen where Geico comes out and that stupid ass lizard fucking talks about how a quarter hour will get you a quarter power or something, and it's fucking infuriating, and I see it happening, and like seeing how soccer has developed in USA has been awesome. Like, it's exploded in the USA, no doubt, but goddamn if the fucking corporations who run the video streaming services and everything else have not fucking taken full advantage of that popularity boom. It's fucked, man. Just let us watch the game.
Just give the people what they want.
Right.
All
right,
let's move on to more of the Saturday games. Let's go to Spurs Leeds. So, Biesla. Mm-hmm. I know we were big into Leeds. I think I was very much in the camp of like, okay, like, I love that he will not change his style. That is so fun. But I feel like the jig is up. Like, this is not a sustainable way of playing in the Premier League, where each match you don't know if you're going to score five or have five scored against you. It's just not sustainable. And I mean, the guy is going to stay up in the Premier League, but like, I'm really curious to see late in the season, how the players are doing in terms of fitness and still staying this active and like the high press, like how many of them are going to be like, okay, this is kind of bullshit. We can't be doing this against Man City. We can't be doing this against Liverpool. Because next thing you know, it's going to be 6-0 over and over and over again.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But at the same time, I think that we've been asking this same question since Bielsa came into the Prem this season. And his players so far have not shown any sign of faltering in their fitness. With that being said, and I see a lot of people kind of retracting their statements on Bielsa being a master coach and all that shit, calling him arrogant and all that. But what's the alternative for him to play fucking safe? And to be totally fair to Bielsa, he's sitting in 12th place right now. So he's doing better than Nuno Santos's Spurs. And we all herald Nuno Santos as a brilliant coach at Wolves. And we all herald Nuno Santos as a brilliant coach for what he's done at Wolves. He's sitting above Crystal Palace. He's just about right there with Arsenal and West Ham. So I think that the alternative nets him less points by playing cautious. Because to be straight up, he doesn't have the players that do that. And as long as their fitness is upheld, like it has been so far this season, then I think this is the best strategy to fucking uphold. Because the alternative is just to fucking languish in the fucking relegation zone with the likes of Brighton, with the likes of Burnley, Fulham, West Brom, and Sheffield. At least he's fucking taking it to the other team in every single fucking match. And for better or worse, he's fucking staying in that mid-range in the Prem right now. So I'm still on that Bielsa train. At the very least, he makes every game that he plays fun as shit. And I'm always
it's
on
pure entertainment. I will say it is pure entertainment. And I will give you that, Martin. What's the alternative? Like, would you rather you live? I think for Leeds fans, it's like you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You go in knowing that each match is a crapshoot, but you know it's going to be fun as hell. Even if you're losing 4-0, the next match you know you're going to be winning 3-0. So to that credit, I just know it's like with Manchester United, I was like, I never knew what I was going to get from you guys. But like with Leeds, I think that's changed where I'm like, Leeds, I really have no... Well, I know like style-wise, but like truly defensively, I have no clue. But the move into the match, it was a 3-0 victory by Tottenham. Credit to Heung-min Son getting his 100th goal for Tottenham, which is incredible. Of course, Harry Kane assisting him. Harry Kane getting a goal of his own. Again, Harry Kane playing out of his mind. I can't believe, I think it was Sky Sports or someone left him out of their starting 11 for the 2020 year or something like that. They had Calvert-Lewin over him, which I thought was ridiculous. There was the BBC Sport Team of the Year for, and I was flabbergasted that he got left out because he's been playing out of his mind. But yeah, solid performance, a nice bounce back game for Tottenham, and they're right back into the title race. I mean, they never left, but it felt like this was a big win for them.
Yeah, I agree. And currently they sit 4 points off the league leaders in United and Liverpool. And like you said, it kind of feels like Tottenham has faded in the past couple of weeks. So this was a good statement win for them. Harry Kane's assists are just in fucking incredible. Heung-min Son, like you said, fucking lethal. That combination is just proving to be gold mine for sure all year for Jose Mourinho. And the last thing I have to say about this game, and I don't know if you saw this, but the look that Jose Mourinho gave Matt Doherty after he got red carded in the 92nd minute. Holy shit. Like, I've
the
given
death stare.
Yeah, I've seen death stares. I've given death stares. I have never seen something cold as that death stare. Doherty is not getting back on the pitch for at least a fucking month. Holy crap. Jose Mourinho is a mob boss. That is a fact.
Yeah, it is like if you had to pick a manager who'd be in the mafia, it'd be like, oh, Jose Mourinho would be like Paulie from Goodfellas. He would be the top of the... You know, he'd be like the silent assassin. Like, he would never kill you, but he'd send like three guys to go be like, hey, come to this party, kill you in the car. Now, I will give credit to Jose Mourinho, too. I mean, you're facing off with them in the League Cup final. So, Martin, are you going to stop Tottenham from winning a trophy this year? It has to be up to United.
Well, it's either going to be City or United. We'll fucking find out tomorrow what happens. United versus City. A Carabao League Cup semifinal derby. I'm so excited.
I was thinking about, because we were talking about like all the COVID cases and how the league might have to go on a pause. And we were saying that, like, oh, we have to get rid of one of the leagues. I would love, I'm sorry, Tottenham fans. You guys already hate me anyway for being an Arsenal fan. So what, not losing anything here. What I'm trying to say is that, like, oh, wouldn't it be a shame if Tottenham heads to a League Cup final and then they have to get rid of the cup because of COVID and they have to, like, what a shame. That'd be a real shame.
I think it would be even better if they won it, got the trophy for like a day, and then for some reason, Carabao decided to confiscate all the trophies. So Tottenham had a trophy in their trophy case for one day, other than the Audi Trophy Cup.
Whoa, that's sacred.
That is sacred. I went too far saying they did not have an Audi International Champions Cup trophy in there. But I think this Tottenham team is for sure to be taken seriously, whether it's a Carabao Cup or in the league itself. City United tomorrow to figure out who plays Tottenham. But Kev, I got to be honest with you. I was rooting for Brentford through and through. I know you were, but I love an underdog story, so I was all on board for Brentford.
Yeah, they had a VAR mix-up too, which wasn't as egregious, but it was kind of like, you know, it's like where are we going to draw the line? You know, where Brentford would have equalized and then Tottenham kind of capitalized right after, making it 2-0. But like 1-1, that kind of changes the dynamics of the games completely. So I don't know. VAR is something that, you know, we thought was going to be left behind in 2020 in terms of how bad it is. No. It's still here in 2021. It is not going anywhere. So, all right, we're going to move on to some of the other big games. Let's go to the Sunday matchups. Man City versus Chelsea, Martin.
Big questions, Kev.
I'm going to start with... So the big argument was Chelsea more shit or was Man City more good? That's always the argument when something like this happens. I'm in the camp that Man City had their way with Chelsea in the first half. I haven't seen Man City have a way with, like, it was like watching Man City versus Burnley, where, you know, Burnley always gets shit pumped by Man City. Man City, like, it could have easily, by the end of the first half, been 5-0. Easily. If it wasn't from a few missed chances, but the fact that it was only 3-0 is incredible. So, the Gundogan strike, the KDB, to the, who was the other goal? It was Foden, the Foden goal. And Foden had a great opportunity. KDB had a great opening chance that he puts where he should have put it away in the opening moments of the game, like in the first 10 minutes. But Man City are awake. They are for real. They are the odds-on favorites in terms from ESPN and like Bleacher Report bet that they are the favorites to win the Premier League by like a good margin, which I think is ridiculous. But they're a team who I think are probably the deadliest right now in the Premier League based off just this one performance.
I think it is kind of a 75-25% split in terms of City just being City and Chelsea fucking dropping more and more. I think that Lampard definitely has some fucking shit to figure out at Chelsea. The lineup swapping that he has done throughout this campaign so far this season has obviously not yielded him any answers at all, because he still does not know how to properly set up this team, it would appear. And I think Manchester City was able to exploit that at just about every opportunity in the first half. And when you keep switching out players, the defense, the midfield, and the forwards never have a chance to develop chemistry. So when Tammy Abraham, Kai Havertz, Timo Werner, and Giroud are all flip-flopping each and every game, it does not yield good, consistent results. And we've seen this fucking team perform brilliantly under Frank Lampard, and over the past three games, we have just seen a crestfallen side just get beaten and beaten and beaten. It started off with Arsenal, and it's just gotten fucking more embarrassing, I feel like. And this feels like a very big game to make a fucking pivot for Chelsea right here. Right here, the players and Frank Lampard either have to have the mentality going into the next game, woe is me, fuck, we got to win this game, otherwise we're fucked, or the mentality, we are winning this game. And I think this next couple games for Chelsea is going to be huge for them in the Prem. And huge for Frank as a manager himself, to be perfectly honest. Frank Lampard right now has the worst record under Roman Abramovich ever for Chelsea. And so I don't see him sticking around much longer if these results keep tumbling down and down. But at the same time, for everybody calling for his exit right now, I don't think that holds any fucking merit at all. In his second year,
he really was able to get. Oh, I think he is really on the hot seat. I think
he is in fans, but I highly doubt that he is in Roman Abramovich's.
The guy who sacks people like it's no one's business.
It's a new manager. The same reason Mikel Arteta won't be sacked unless something absolutely dog shit happens. And to be honest, you guys were floating outside of the relegation zone for a good 30% of the season so far. And he wasn't even touched. These new managers, where they're legends of the teams, I think are treated much more fucking gently.
I don't think Abramovich is going to touch him. I think you're right in terms of there is a bit of like he is a club legend, but we're talking about the cold-blooded vodka Abramovich. We're talking about the Russian here. This guy feels nothing. Thomas Tuchel.
Thomas Tuchel. I think he's a better manager than Frank. For sure, but I do not think he is a great manager.
Thomas Tuchel is going to get snagged up soon. Abramovich sees he's on the open market. I have no doubt in my mind that Abramovich is sitting right now heavily considering that, considering about how much money they spent in the summer, how good their academy is, and that this team, which I think has been the biggest thing and the biggest question mark, is who are they? They have no identity.
I don't think that's fair to Frank Lampard nor Chelsea. I think it takes any
manager. But this is the business.
Especially. Yeah, sure, until you had these new age managers come in. There were multiple points where all of these managers have deserved to be sacked. This is literally his second year at the club. And he just spent $250 million, six new players to be at that club. It takes fucking time, especially with all these fucking injuries. I don't think there is any reason in the world to replace Frank Lampard with the likes of Thomas Tuchel. And this may be harsh. This is the second scalding take of the fucking podcast. Thomas Tuchel is overrated as shit.
I agree.
He has not done fuck all. Who else is out there?
I mean,
by no one. That's why you don't get you have Allegri. You have Maximilian Allegri, but I guess he's never coaching again. But why would you get rid of Frank Lampard, who obviously has a deep connection with this team, and obviously the players have affection for, and he has locker room support. I do not see a reason to get rid of Frank Lampard for the likes of Thomas Tuchel, who is just mediocre. At least you have a fucking promise with Frank. At least you are in the unexpected zone with Frank. Thomas Tuchel is going to fucking bang you out fourth place, third place, maybe challenge for a title one year. The dude's never won shit in his fucking professional coaching career. If Chelsea fucking, I said this before and I did not have to eat myself, Martin, because Mendy did not fucking save goals after.
Also, Mendy not looking great.
Yeah, Kepa's coming back. I said this. Bring back Petr Cech. Just get what you fucking get. I do not fucking see them firing and hiring Thomas Tuchel right now at this moment. They're in fucking sixth place or something like that. That'd be fucking stupid.
All right, man. I'm just telling you. When I see the headlines next week,
I'll tell you what. If they hire Thomas Tuchel right now, Kevin, I will eat my own words and eat my own boot. That might be a stupid-ass move by Roman Abramovich.
Okay, I'm looking at the fixtures for Chelsea. So Friday, January 15th, their next Premier League fixture is Fulham. So that's going to be a win for them. But Chelsea versus Leicester, if they get embarrassed by Leicester...
I don't think they will. I mean, shoot. I do not see this fall continuing. Like we always say, you got to bet on the loser. If somebody's lost four games in a row, you bet on them winning the next game. And this is what I feel like we have
Fulham,
to do here.
Fulham-Chelsea. I'm taking Chelsea by a million, but...
Chelsea by a million. Leicester-Chelsea will be a good game, but I don't think Frank's job is on the line in that game. I think if he comes in, like, seventh place at the end of the season... Then maybe, yeah, you talk about fucking firing him. But if he's in the top four again, why would you fucking fire him?
Okay, I will give you that. If, 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 If he gets in the top four, he's safe. But anything less than top four, he's instantly gone. There is no doubt in my mind. Even if it's fifth, he's gone that next day.
Oh, see, Roman Abramovich, like I'm fucking broke. Roman Abramovich.
Bromovich.
What's up, bro? Bromovich.
What's up, bro?
Are you gonna fire Frank Bromage?
Bro, boy, chill.
Chill, bro. That's pretty harsh, bro. Bromovich.
Okay, this is done. This bit's done. It's funny to us. I don't know if people listening at home are lugging it as much as we are. Oh my god. Anyway, okay. I have seen Abramovich since he's come in since 2005. I mean, he sacked Jose Mourinho the year after he won the Premier League. He sacked Sarri after winning a Europa League title. I have seen this.
Yeah, time Sarri and sucks. Time.
He got rid of Antonio Conte after the FA Cup. He won a Premier League, then an FA Cup. So, Martin, if we're going to talk about recent history, Abramovich is trigger happy. He is John Wick. He is the boogeyman when it comes to managers.
Yeah, but I think Frankie is his little gray pitbull. I'm sorry, his little blue pitbull, to be exact. It would fucking suck if Frank gets fired. Between Ollie Frank and Mikel, like all those would bum me out to my core if any of them got fired. So I'm picking this hill to die on. Like I've drawn it out. I've chosen a hill, and this is where I die. I'm gonna die on this hill. Frank is not getting fired this season.
All right. So your brother Gabe, who's a Chelsea fan, I know he's there with a gun to your head. Gabe, put the gun away. you can leave the room now. We're done talking about Chelsea.
Chelsea's gone. The big bad Chelsea's gone.
All right, let's move on to the last game I really want to talk about for the pod, and that's Liverpool-Southampton. And I kind of want to I just really want to hear your thoughts, Martin, because you're always a big Klopp hater, mostly because you're a Manchester United fan. You hate Liverpool, obviously, because of the rivalry. But you've always
hated Liverpool because they're a shit team. Okay. I don't hate them because they're a rivalry. Let's be perfectly honest. This is the greatest team that the Prem has ever seen, right? Are we still on that fucking bandwagon that this is the greatest team in Premier League in world history? Fuck God. I am so happy to see this. Danny Ings with a piece of fucking magic.
Off a James Ward-Prowse free kick, may I add.
Yeah. Like the boys are fucking linking up over at Southampton, over at Hasselhoff. Or Matt Hasselhoff.
Ralph Hasselhoff, yes.
I'm going with the Hollywood guy. Isn't his name Matt? The dude who was in Baywatch?
Oh, Hasselhoff.
Yeah. What was his real name? His first name, sorry. Not his real name. His real first name. Was it also?
No, Hasselhoff, his first name is...
Matt. Carmen. Jingo.
David Hasselhoff.
David. All right. See, I was working my way there. I was pretty close to Jingle.
You know what's weird? What's your first thought when you think of David Hasselhoff? I think of Dodgeball when he's yelling at the German team. My second thought was like when SpongeBob rides him in the SpongeBob movie. That's like my two first thoughts. I'd never think of Baywatch.
I literally only think of Baywatch because I have never seen Baywatch, number one. And so all I know is that David Hasselhoff was like iconic in Baywatch. And so I just know the reference. I don't know the man. I don't know his fame. I just know David Hasselhoff or Ralph Hasselhoff in some cultures was in Baywatch. So those are just two links for me and my synapses in my stupid ass brain of mine. But yeah, back to the fucking game. Danny Ings, piece of fucking magic in the second minute. And let me just say, it was Trent Alexander-Arnold, the generational right back, talent marking him, who also, may I add, gave the ball away 38 fucking times that game. I mean, just the greatest fucking Liverpool team you've ever seen in your life, isn't it? Just glorious.
Well, you've always hated Trent for his defensive work.
Shit, and defense, yeah. He's a great passer. He's the best passing right back in the fucking world. He's a great crosser.
I really think he should move off the midfield because, if he moves off the midfield, we can at least give him a pass with the defense. But like, it's getting embarrassing. I mean, this game was embarrassing
really
for him.
Fucking embarrassing. And if you don't have Virgil van Dijk back there to bail you out, but you have the greatest center back or center defensive. I'm sorry, center mid captain, my captain Jordan Henderson in the back line. If you don't have Virgil van Dijk back there, Trent Alexander can't do his fucking bullshit. At least Andy Robertson can defend and get back, so he isn't as such of a just liability on the flank of the left side. But this Liverpool team, yeah, you guys are hurt. Everybody's fucking hurt. Manchester City might not have enough players to fucking play us tomorrow. You don't see Pep Guardiola bitching as much as Jurgen Klopp.
Well, I mean, his players are trying to get big bum Latinas, and Manchester is still horny. Oh, you haven't even brought that up in the whole pod, but yeah, Manchester City, they're trying to fuck. It's a safety risk, Marn. We can't be shit. About it.
Damn it. Fuck safely, everybody.
Fuck safely with condoms and with masks on.
6 feet. Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah, that's true. Everybody put their mask on until Future says mask off.
That'll be the number one song in the world once that happens. Once everyone's vaccinated, it's just going to be mask off for like the next year.
Too bad we only have 2 million vaccinations out there yet.
Martin, again, another
sad podcast.
That's another NPR podcast. Anyway, the thing that bothers me the most is that Liverpool fans or Liverpool stands will be like, oh, these players, like, they just put 10 men behind and, like, you know, why don't they come out and fight us like men? Because they tactically know that they don't have the players or the money to go up against you. So they have to play differently. I just think, like, Liverpool fans have been, like, killing me. And I love Klopp. I am supporting a Liverpool.
Kevin is a Kloppite, yeah.
But, like, this thought that, oh, like, I can't believe people aren't playing us like how we're playing them. It's like, no shit. No.
Straight up. It came into the culmination when they played Atletico Madrid in the Champions League last year. And I think that's when other teams fucking saw how they can break down this Liverpool team, the greatest team that the world's ever seen, the best team in Prem history. Play defense. But I think that truly the anger is so fucking misplaced because, yeah, you're right. These teams are sitting fucking deep. But there's no other alternative. Do you think that teams that play Barcelona on the fucking regular or Real Madrid or fucking Manchester City, Bayern Munich, just try everything in their might to score on them? Or do you think they take more of a fucking defensive shape? You guys are the best team in the Prem. You guys just won the league, won the Champions League 2 years ago. You guys have the fucking fear of God in your soccer team. So obviously teams are going to sit back and try and absorb the fucking pressure. That's how soccer works, you dimwits. Stop trying to claim conspiracies where it's just soccer. To be fair, Liverpool, I do think that there are some misfirings in their front three right now. Obviously, like we said, alluded to, there are injuries, but the front three is healthy and it just does not seem to be as lethal as it has in the past 3 years.
Yeah, I think Mane needs to show up a little bit more. I think the whole front three, I mean, Bobby Firmino gave him a little bit of light in the past couple weeks, but I don't know. You need more from your two wings. I'm not going to lie. I don't know. And we say all this criticizing Liverpool because they have been so good. They did win the league by so much last year. If you're a Liverpool fan listening, please know that, like, you guys are still very, very good. So just don't let go of that. Just know that when you do mess up like this, that's why we're, like, raising alarms, because you usually in the past 2 years have not done this. It just feels like there's a mentality missing or something. There's a cog missing, and Jordan Henderson is playing. So it's not that. So
yeah, thank God. Thank God. Jordan Henderson, my captain is playing, because what would we do without the PFA player of the year in the defense, Jordan Henderson?
Oh my God. I like Jordy. I'm a big Jordy
guy.
Jordan
Henderson
know.
Is a piece of shit. I've met him personally. I know him personally. He's a giant piece of shit. Let me tell you what.
He gave Martin COVID. Yeah. He's a horrible person.
Yeah, that's right. Jordan Henderson mailed it to me, that piece of shit. Oh, God.
Okay. Let's end this pod. We got some fan questions for everyone. So thanks to everyone who sent in fan questions. This has been a very fun show. So very much appreciate it. So check out our Instagram at Lads Podcast. We post the best memes, the best American soccer content, best world soccer content in the world. So make sure to give us a follow. The first question comes from G.Machine, Martin's brother, of course. He says, will Messi come to the Premier League next year? No. No.
If he...
He's not coming to Man City. That is... he would have done it by now.
I don't know, dude. He just became technically able to speak to other clubs about transferring to them. That was released on January 1st. So he can talk to other clubs now, like PSG, Manchester City, any MOS teams. But, I mean...
Juventus?
I think our options...
Ronaldo and Messi together?
No way. No way. I think our options, like, realistically are... MOS, but I don't even know if an MOS team can fucking afford him right now.
No.
So, like, PSG or Man City, like, where else does he fucking go other than stay at Barcelona?
Neymar and Messi together again.
Ship a... Dude, both of these teams have broken financial fair play rule their entire livelihood. Like, there's no way he can go to either of
exactly,
these teams.
Exactly, Martin.
Those are the
That's
only two teams that can get him.
I'm just saying, M&M... Messi, Neymar, Mbappe, Eminem has a nice little sound to it at PSG.
Then,
Pochettino with Messi? Are you joking?
Fuck. Messi would probably fucking fire Pochettino within the first month because
oh, stop it! They're Argentinian brothers. They're Argentinian
Dude,
brothers.
Messi hates Argentinians. Did you do you remember him at the
no.
World Coach? Just
he does not
at
hate
Argentinians.
Well, he was not a great coach, let's be honest.
Okay, there's a reason Dybala doesn't fucking play with Messi. Messi hates Argentinians. You heard it here first. Messi, the Argentinian, hates Argentinians.
Okay, yeah, sure. Talk to, like, Mascherano and all those guys. Okay, all right. next question comes from Christopher Davis 12. He says, on a scale from 1 to dumpster fire, how bad are Chelsea right now? Okay, they're not a dumpster fire.
They're not. They're smoldering, baby. They're smoldering.
There is some flames, but they're not a dumpster fire. I mean, they're still, what, 6, Martin, like you said?
Yeah, they're not... I think they're only like 6 points off of Manchester United and Liverpool right now, so it's smoldering. The flames are licking, but it's not super hot right now. It's a warm flame though.
Yeah, I was harsh. I'm more harsh that they should be higher, but they're not in like where Arsenal was earlier in the season. I mean, earlier in the season, just a few weeks ago. So, like, let's move.
Last Monday.
Yeah, literally, like, before the new year. Next question comes from DomDom1033. He says, which are the better odds? Fulham staying up for next year or Southampton or Villa making Champions League? Ooh, good question.
Ooh, I like that.
I would probably say the better odds is Fulham going down. If there's one team out of like Southampton, Leicester, or Villa getting in the top four, which one would you pick, Martin?
I'd go Leicester just because I've seen it fucking before. Yeah, history fucking proves themselves.
I don't know,
but
Villa, man.
Time, this shit's wild, man. This shit is a quarantine season. Fucking Manchester United is in first place in 2021. Arsenal has climbed out of the relegation zone. Chelsea is rapidly dropping towards the relegation zone.
Man City are awesome now?
Yeah. Yeah. All in a matter of a month. So fortune favors the motherfucking bold. Nobody knows what's happening. But if I had to choose between either Villa or Southampton getting into top four or Fulham staying up, I'd have to say Fulham staying up solely because I don't see anybody but the traditional big six filling out those top four spaces at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you with that. If I were to do my final league predictions,
New Year's predictions, baby.
And this isn't any order. My top four would probably be City, Liverpool, Man U, Tottenham. And I'm saying that's not my definitive. There's no 1, 2, 3, 4. That's who I have in my top four. I can't right now pick who I think is going to win it, if I'm being honest.
I'm in the same top four as you are. I'm right there with you, baby. And I will hedge all my bets for another couple of weeks before we do like a weird March prediction or some bullshit.
What match game? Because half, so there's what, 38 games in a season?
19. That's 19. How math works.
We're close. Yes, thank you. so I, once we get to match week 19, halfway through the season, let's make our predictions. And that's where every team is at 19.
Yep, yep. Okay. And so if some teams are at 20, but other teams are still at 18, we have to wait until everybody's at 19. We're
every
being
team
fair with this.
Must
no
be
child
at 19.
Left behind.
No child left behind. Thank you, Barbara Bush. oh, hey.
Shout out
to Barbara. Oh, hey, it's Cal says, the MLS is super in the red. How can they recover next season? Ooh. I did not know that, since I don't know that much about the MLS, but yeah. It's America. So like they'll probably be fine. I mean,
yeah. What are they going to do? Fold? Is America never not going to have professional soccer? No, they'll be okay. I mean, MLS will be okay.
Well, no, I actually did see something. I saw Sam's Army. Shout out Sam's Army, who came on the show. Barstool Sam. He said in a post about, like, you know, like when there's lockouts where like the NBA has lockouts and the NFL have lockouts about like contract negotiations. Apparently like the owners in MLS have way more leverage than the other major sports league, just because it's not billionaires versus millionaires like in the NFL or the NBA. You're going up against billionaires versus thousandaires. You're going up against guys who aren't making nearly as much as like the NFL or NBA guys. So they don't really have that much, you know, what's the word? Leverage against the owners. So, which I think is very interesting. So if you want to know more about that, shout out to Sam's Army. I think he may have made a blog or a post about that. And I remember reading half of it. So here, look at us talking MLS. Talking
we did
MLS.
It, it's a new year, new me.
And it's not my knowledge. It's just my half-ass. I read half a paragraph. So that was
go read the rest. It's a teaser, baby.
Yeah, teaser. Next question comes from Nicholas Dietrich. He says, is West Ham discount Arsenal? I don't know. They're higher in the table than us, so I wouldn't say discount. I think West Ham has been one of the biggest surprises of the year. Same with Aston Villa. I think maybe it's just the weird that they both have the same uniform teams. Maybe that's it, but I don't know. I really wouldn't call them discount Arsenal. I just think West Ham have just been unbelievable this season. I've really been very impressed by Antonio, Sukic, that whole Declan Rice is definitely going to Man City. I'm calling it now.
He's not going to Chelsea?
Oh, you think?
That's what everybody seems to fucking say. He's best friends with Mason Mount. Friend, soccer friend.
Friends, football friends.
Football friends.
Actually, him, Ben Chilwell, Mason Mount, that's a solid like English squad right there.
Yeah, and I think that's what I think that's what Chelsea and Manchester United are trying to get back to, because back in like 2006, 2007, where Arsenal were obviously multifaceted. Players from everywhere in the fucking world. Manchester United and Chelsea had a pretty solid English fucking core until the late 2000s. And I straight up fucking feel like that's what Ollie's entire mentality is now. Build an English squad with some fucking Portuguese Magnifico, just like Ronaldo was.
Little spice sprinkled in.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Get that international spice in there. And if you fucking think about it, look back to the best teams that Manchester United had. You had Rio, you had Scary Neville, you had Paul Scholes, you had fucking Giggsy, you had Darren Fletcher, you had Michael Carrick, you had Wayne Roondog, and then you had that international spice thrown in there. You had that Ruud van Nistelrooy thrown in there. You had that fucking Nemanja Vidic thrown in there. You had that fucking Ronaldo thrown
Berbatov
in there. That Burby, that fucking Dutch Van Persie in there. Mwah, mwah. You stir that all up in a pot and you got some English cooking with just some spice from Denmark. And I think that's what Ollie's game plan is. I've lost my fucking mind, Kevin. Holy crap.
No, you really have. Next question. Shub, I'm not going to pronounce this. Shub Hamajian underscore 3799 says, do you guys really think United winning too many penalties is the only reason they are in second? No, I do not.
No.
I think Bruno Fernandes, I think that's a live by the sword, die by the sword. Because if Bruno Fernandes does not perform for you guys, like, he has been unbelievable. I think the best midfielder in the Premier League this season, possibly in the world. I don't think that's not to discount the rest of the leagues in the world. I'm just saying Bruno Fernandes, he passes the eye test. He passes the stats. Bruno has been, and Martin, I've mentioned this jokingly, but he's been the best transfer since Robbie Van Persie for you guys, it feels like.
Yeah, straight up. And you kind
besides
of
the title, obviously. Besides the title, but like.
yeah, baby.
Everything but the title.
ABB or ABT. I think that you made an excellent point. It's live by the side sword, die by the sword point at this time. Because imagine if Bruno Fernandes doesn't play. We saw it in the first half. Against West Ham earlier, or I guess later in 2020 this season, and it was dog shit in the first half. Bruno Fernandes comes on and he leads us to a 3-2 comeback, and so it's scary to think that this one player has such a huge fucking role for this team. But I live my life with Manchester United taking a good priority. Chunk of my team. So like looking at Manchester United and just the mentality of Manchester United since he's come into the squad, it's 1000% fucking different from the fans to the players to the coaching staff, and it's just been phenomenal. So yeah, Bruno Fernandes, I don't think that he's the only reason for the club's just upswing and fortune, but he is a huge driving factor, whole lot more than penalties.
Yeah, I'm not going to count out like Rashford's impact, obviously. I think Bai has been a big... no one's really talking about Bai, by the way. Like, he has been...
As long as he doesn't get hurt, he's a phenomenal fucking defender.
No, I think, honestly, there's a shout that he may have been... He's been one of the best defenders in the league this year, if not, like, in the top, like, five or... I think he's easily top 10, but, like, I think there's an argument to say that he's been one of the best defenders this year in total. So, next question is from Hartley Foundation 2004. He says, how much time Frank has to turn it around at Chelsea?
This season. I say he has to the end of the season. We kind of talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. I do think if he has a bad run, I mean, if he loses to Fulham, then it's really hot seat, I think. But I don't see that happening. So I'm kind of with you, Marin, but kind of not. I think it's a lot hotter than people are thinking.
Yeah, and like you said, if he wins against Fulham but gets embarrassed at Leicester, obviously there's more fucking pressure. So I think at this point, at least, his fate is in his own hands. He's not a sitting duck. He's not like Tony Pulis at Sheffield United. He's not going to get fired in 45 days of his
also, career. Also, Tony Pulis, Martin, I meant to correct you. Tony Pulis is not a Sheffield United. It's, what's his name? Wild.
Oh, West Brom. Where was Tony Pulis?
He's at Sheffield Wednesday.
Wednesday. Ah, thank you. Thank you. Duh. I was wondering why I kept seeing Chris Wilde on the fucking screen every week in and week out.
Yeah, that's Chris Wilder. That makes yes,
so much more sense.
Sorry, I'm glad I meant to bring that up. I think we talked about that on the last pod we were together.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad we cleared the air because I was with you. I'm like, oh yeah, Tony Pulis, and like for some reason I thought he was in the Premier League, but I think I was just drunk. So, next question comes from King Nito 1019. He says, "Who do you think will be the busiest in the transfer window, and who will have the best window?" I don't know. January transfer window is weird. Like, sometimes people go crazy. Sometimes it's just completely quiet. So, if I'm being completely honest, I couldn't pick a team who's going to pop off in the January transfer window. Maybe, like, Liverpool get, like, a center back. Maybe. But I don't think there's going to be a real big shakeup this January. I mean, I really have no idea.
Yeah, and this January transfer window is obviously unlike anything we've seen before with COVID. Obviously, we saw this summer was a muted transfer window, so to speak, because of COVID. And now January, who the heck knows? Obviously, it's been shown that a January transfer window can net you some absolutely brilliant players like Ozil for Arsenal.
Bruno.
Bruno for Manchester United.
Fernando Torres. People forget.
Yeah, don't count it out. Don't count it out. But I don't think we're going to see huge activity like we usually do in the summer. especially because of this COVID shit. Like you said, I've seen murmurs that Livy is in the market for a center back that, now that my captain, Jordan Henderson, is playing center back. I know Manchester United got Diallo, some teenage prospect guy. So, fuck, that's all I know about our situation. Maybe we'll get Jadon Sancho, but probably fucking not. I don't even want him. I still don't want him, Kevin.
Yeah, I think Arsenal is loaning out Saliba. So I think that's the big one, which is really sad.
He fucking played for you. Yeah,
I know. I think, I've been reading into it. And shout out to Neil, friend of the show, who's been on. Yes, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Neil Ghost. He was talking about it, about like he had a, like his, I think his mom died or somebody died, and like he's just been having a real hard transition. So I really feel bad for him. So I really hope he comes back to the club because he is really good. So, next question comes from Greg's JC. He has two questions, and the first question is about the January transfer window, which we just kind of talked about. So I'll do the other one. He says, "Who do you think will be the best standout player of the year?" I mean, if I were going to pick my player of the year so far, I think obviously Bruno would probably be at the top. I think Kane, Son, trying to think. I mean, Salah has sneakily been having a pretty decent year in terms of goals. Jamie Vardy. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, Martin. Is there players off you what are you thinking?
I think Jack Grealish has a huge shout
for
the year so far. I also think that Kevin De Bruyne, while he's not had a great season so far, if he fucking turns this, I think that kind of not answering the question, I think that Kevin De Bruyne is going to have a fantastic spring of 2021. I think he's just going to explode into the player that we know he is. But other than that, I think that some of my honorable mentions, I fucking love Gineppo on Southampton. Same with Che Adams. With West Ham.
James Ward-Prowse?
Yeah, James Ward-Prowse. I think there's a lot of fucking players that have been really damn good, but I don't think kind of like...
Ogazi at West Ham?
Ogazi, yeah. But I don't think like in seasons past where like, oh, yeah, it's definitely Mo Salah. Or, oh, yeah, it's definitely fucking Jamie Vardy.
There's no runaway.
Or Eden Hazard. Yeah, there's no runaway this year. I think the biggest...
There's no runaway in the Prem. I mean, I think that's kind of a part of how the Premier League season's going. Oh, there's no runaway team, so...
Yeah, I'm in the same fucking boat there. I think probably the best shout is either going to be... and I don't like saying this, but Bruno or Jack Grealish.
Yeah, I mean, I would love for Jack Grealish to get it. So, and I think that's a big topic. I'm surprised we didn't get a question about, like, where do we think he's going to go next year? So,
United, baby. Come on. I've been begging for
it. You're going to make me hate Jack Grealish, aren't you? Okay.
you
next
don't
question.
Hate Bruno, man.
I know. It's, you're right. Whatever. Next question comes from Sebastian.GillSportsPhysio. Who we're going to get on the pod soon because he's a soccer sports physio. So he talks a lot about soccer injuries and the most common. It's going to be a great interview. So stay tuned for that. He asks, whatever happened with Martin's car?
Which one?
I think
like
about
20 cars.
I know. But I think it was, we told the story about like your brother, like you crashing into your brother almost.
Oh, man. Well, one of them was sold and, my truck, my good old fucking truck, I fixed it enough for it to be drivable, and I drove it for like a month, and then the head gasket went out on my brother a couple days ago, so I got to do a head gasket repair this week. So the truck is in my front yard. Thank you for asking.
Oh, okay. Well, there's your answer. Also, Martin, Top Gear, or what's their new show on
Grand
Amazon
Tour.
Called? Grand Tour. They released a new special. It was very good.
Oh man, I'll have to fucking watch it. I fucking love those boys, and I love that you're jumping on that shit. Also,
dude, I love Grand Tour so fucking much.
Yes, I've been trying to get Kevin to watch this show, forever. I've also been trying to get our entire fucking group message boys about watching this show forever, or at least for like 2 years now. If anybody cares about cars and racing, watch Drive for Survive. the new Formula One season starts in March, baby. So we got 3 months unless they postpone Australia, which they're already talking about going. But if you want a cool car show on Netflix, it's called Drive to Survive. I've already got my girl watching it, so I got to get you all to watch it too.
All right, cool. And that was talking Formula One.
It's
next
been a while.
Question. It's been a while. We have not talked about Formula One on our
the
soccer
been over.
Drinking. Yes. Next question comes from Gimpin' Ain't Easy. All right. Is Sergio Ramos' denial of a contract extension a hint towards a summer transfer? Maybe, but I mean, Sergio Ramos, I mean, has been one of the best defenders in the world this year. It's incredible at his age. I think he's, what, 34, 35, that he's still... I mean, defenders age like fine wine, like goalkeepers. But I can't imagine him in another jersey.
Like, yeah, in another, he's kind of like Messi. Yeah, he's kind of like Messi where...
He's like Mr. Madrid.
Straight up. And I feel like if he was to go anywhere, it'd probably be to the MLS or something like that. I mean, he's Spanish.
Like the Beckhams, like Inter Miami.
Exactly. And if he does that, like, I feel like that is an entirely different type of transfer than if he was to go to, like, AC Milan or something. If he went to AC Milan, that shit would be tight. He could play with Teo.
Honestly, that's a good shout. That's a good shout.
Yeah. Thank you. I just thought of it.
Wow.
But I don't see it happening. Like you said, he's Mr. Real Madrid. He's been the stalwart under every single fucking manager during the Galacticos era, past and present, I may add. And he's just been captain of my captain.
Yeah, I really don't see it happening. Last question I have from the Instagram is Pep making... Oh, there's two questions. One from Kung_Drew. He says, I humbly request that you all talk about King Kazoo. The people need to know. King Kazoo?
Is he talking about the Kazoo title race? If he's talking about the Kazoo title race, that title race is between Everton and Aston Villa and I think some other team. They all have Kazoo sponsorships, and it's a tight fucking...
No, he's talking about... I just Googled it. He's talking about that really old professional soccer Japanese guy.
Like the
Kayusho Hiro. Yeah, he was still playing, like, yeah. I mean, technically professional soccer. His current team is Yokohama FC. He's 53 years old. So shout out that guy for being old as fuck and still doing it. That's my contribution.
I was way off the fucking point with the Kazoo title race.
But no, that's what I thought. I thought it was the Kazoo title race. But yeah, I mean, good for him. I mean, old players doing well. Zlatan, Ronaldo. I mean, nowhere as old as him, but good for... I kind of want to watch a match with him and be like, do you just stand around? Is he like a goal merchant? Does he just stand in the box and wait to do tap-ins? Because he's a forward, so I got it. He doesn't have speed. Oof.
Maybe so, like, he does, dude. Once you get like 45, I feel like you get some of that old man strength to fuel you back up until you're at least 65. So,
I feel like it's like one sprint a game you got.
That's right. But if he was living in England and playing for Manchester United, I guarantee you he'd be England's next golden boy. He would be Jesse Lingard plus 30 years.
Messi Lingard, baby. Scotty 1920 says, is Pep making room for Kane by lowballing De Bruyne's contract? Hi, Kevin and Martin. Oh, hi. So that's been the big rumor that's come out from like a German publication that Man City is trying to buy Harry Kane for $100 million, which I think is ridiculously low, especially the season he's having now. I mean, I already don't like Tottenham as an Arsenal fan, but seeing Kane in that light blue would fucking be insane. I don't know. I would hate to see Man City try and lowball one of their greatest players ever in Kevin De Bruyne. For selfish reasons. So I don't know. I just can't imagine Harry Kane going to another Premier League team after Tottenham. I can see him going somewhere in Europe, but not to Man City.
Yeah, and I think that you got to ask yourself. It's a fucking toughie. It's a tough question. You might want to sit down and grab a beer for this, but who would you rather have on your team? Would you want Kevin De Bruyne or would you want Harry Kane? And it's fucking close, but I'd have to say Kevin De Bruyne. Like, I'd much rather have.
But what do you need more? They have a ton of creative midfielders. They don't. When Aguero's gone, are you going to trust Gabriel Jesus?
Hell no, but they have money out the fucking ass. Go buy somebody. Don't lowball
Harry Kane. Kevin De
Bruyne don't lowball Kevin De Bruyne in exchange for Harry Kane. If you chase away Kevin De Bruyne, you make the Harry Kane acquisition all for naught in my fucking head. Because I think Kevin De Bruyne allows for strikers like Gabriel Jesus to get on the score sheet, to fucking get in front of goal, waste a whole bunch of chances for sure. But at least Kevin De Bruyne puts those balls in game after fucking game. Even on bad games, he'll whip in some gorgeous fucking balls. And I think if you take that away, you're relying on the likes of Ilkay Gundogan, who, yeah, sure has had a nice string of fucking games, but he's no Kevin De Bruyne. You're relying on the likes of
He's reminding me he's on the team. Yeah, exactly.
He is coming back into the first team because of a coronavirus injury. He's looking good, but sure. Kevin De Bruyne, I think, is irreplaceable. And I would much rather have Kevin De Bruyne and spend your fucking money on a striker like Icardi. Buy Icardi from PSG.
He's very Aguero-like.
You can fucking replace your strikers with ease. You cannot replace Kevin De Bruyne with ease.
Mm, I like that. Okay, we got three more questions. This has been a longer pod, so let's just get them. Let's just run through them. I was never happy until Bruno got to Manchester United at Matty C. He says, best coach to replace Frank at Chelsea. I mean, I said Thomas Tuchel, or you said Maximilian Allegri. I mean, those are kind of the only guys who are available. So,
Jurgen Klinsmann.
Oh, bring him Arsene Wenger.
Bob Bradley, baby.
I think he's available. Next one is full on beach soccer at beach soccer says, which club in the Premier League do you see thriving to start 2021 off right?
City.
Yeah. City started off with a bang. City looks really fucking good, man. They look dangerous. They look like they can just do whatever they want with any club in terms of passing. They can score from distance. They can score in the box. They can score from any possible way. They'll just do it.
Yeah. Cowboy Cerrone, if you all watch UFC, named his son Danger Cerrone. You might as well fucking call it Danger City, because City looks dangerous. City looks like the most likely team to have the best start to 2021.
And the last question we have is from Balen Bennett. He says, Mesut Ozil negotiating with DC United, heading to the MLS. I mean, good for him. I hope he gets paid. Go do his American tour. Gets a bunch of American. He will be very popular in the States, especially because of the big Arsenal fandom. I really want the best for him. I've talked a lot of shit about Mesut Ozil and what he's been doing at the club and like the handling of the Mesut Ozil situation. It is a situation at Arsenal Football Club. I really want the best for this guy. I hope he goes, thrives. I hope he goes to America, gets a fat paycheck, gets to play with a bunch of scrubs over in the MLS. I would love that for him.
Yeah, and if he wears a hat, Americans might just think he's JFK, so that'd be a huge fucking plus for his career. if you don't get that look at his eyes and look at JFK's eyes, oh, God, Jesus.
It's a spitting image.
It's terrifying. I'm right there with you, though. Like, fucking power to you. Maybe he'll be the next Freddie Adu at DC United. I'm sorry, not Freddie Adu, Wayne Rooney. Next Wayne Rooney at DC United.
Freddie Adu is a Philadelphia Union legend. Don't you talk ill about him.
Is he really? Dude, I always forget that after Freddie Adu's illustrious career, he winded himself up for a trial period at Philadelphia Union.
Yes. Absolute legend.
Jim Curtin's, man. Jim Curtin's. He fucking knew talent when he saw it, and he was like, Freddie, come here. Freddie, go away.
I think that was way before Jim Curtin's time. Okay. Anyway, with that, this has been an awesome show. The most controversial episode in Lad's history. Hope you all have a great start to your new year. And we love you. Take it easy.
Bye. I'll be your dream. I'll be your wish. I'll be your fantasy.
I'll be your hope. I'll be your love. Be everything that you need.
I love you more with every breath. Truly, madly, deeply do. I will be strong. I will be faithful. Cause I'm counting on a new beginning. A reason for living. A deeper
brightly in the velvet sky. I'll make a wish, send it to heaven, then make you want to cry. The tears of joy for all the pleasure and the certainty that we're surrounded by the comfort and protection of the highest power.
Yeah, dude.